across the ball there, so I gotta keep it down. I gotta keep it on the down low. They're up later. You know, I usually do this show later, and they're up by that time, but gotta hit this show early today because in 3 hours, Joe and Eddie and I are going to be flying out of Las Vegas to Stockton, California, where we will rent a car and drive to Sacramento for the meeting on Saturday. Still not too late to come meet us in Sacramento. It's going to be a real adventure. This whole week has been a fantastic adventure. Oh, last night, the meetings. Oh, we had a great meeting last night. Allegra Leonard has been a subscriber and a lover of the truth for years. She emailed me here like 2 days ago, and she told me that a friend of hers named Deb Basham lived in Las Vegas, and Deb didn't know I was coming out here. And not only did she not know I was coming out here, but she didn't even know there was a group out here. So she was beside herself. It was like somebody, you know, winning the showcase on The Price is Right. What? There's a group out in Las Vegas? So it was so great. So I told her about the meeting last night. So she showed up at the door, threw her arms around me, and then she threw her arms around everybody else. And it was a really well-attended meeting last night. There were about 20 people there, and it was so great to see her just graft right into the group as if they had been long-lost relatives. Melinda and Deb just sat on the sofa and chatted like sisters before the meeting started. It was awesome thing to see. And what my favorite thing about this whole trip has been Rich Kovach and Deb Basham, these two people who have lived in Las Vegas and have longed for fellowship and didn't know this group existed. So, yeah, there's a communication gap there for sure, but this meeting has been a catalyst. God arranges things in weird ways. You know, I don't know how or why he does stuff, but or when he does it, but he's doing it, and it's so great. And it was funny, Rich said to Joe last night, well, now you're stuck with me, and Joe said, no, you're stuck with us. So one big happy family here. All right, now we're going to go back to Paul. And we're still on verse 1, chapter 1. We're still on chapter 1, verse 1. So you can imagine, you know, this series is going to go on for years. No, it's not. We're gonna move along. But we're going to talk about Paul's grace apostleship. I'm giving you an overview of this man, so you understand the kind of person that's writing this letter. So you're getting an extra bonus, right? You're not only learning about 2 Timothy, but you're learning about the writer himself. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. All right, I told you yesterday that Paul was not one of the 12 apostles, but not only that, but he had a completely different message. It was not that he was just a different messenger. He had a different message, too, and above that, he had a new dispensation. Paul was the inaugurator of a new time era. It was a new commission. Nobody had ever been commissioned to teach what he taught. And he was also building a new people. And these people were called members of the body of Christ, a select group of individuals called out from the nations in order to do this magnificent work with God to bring the complement of the universe back to Christ. It's just unbelievable. That's what we've been reveling at here. I wish everybody could get together face to face and talk about these things, because through my studies of 2 Timothy, I'm starting to realize, and it really is kind of startling and scary, that people can fall away so quickly from the grace of God. And we need to rekindle this all the time. You know, sometimes we repeat the same messages, we say the same things, but that's needed. This stuff needs to be a part of us. It needs to be part of our fabric. And the Word of God needs to dwell in us richly. Okay, now, I don't know if you knew this, but gospel, the word gospel is a generic term. It just means good news. There are two gospels in the Bible having to do with salvation. Gospel of the circumcision and the uncircumcision, but there are other good newses. There are other good newses mentioned in the Bible, but listen to Acts 20:24, as Paul describes the nature of his gospel. The ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I'm not saying there hasn't been grace shown in the past. I mean, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but it's the measure of grace that we're looking at here. In Paul's message, grace is taken to the next level. There's grace in the circumcision evangel. Yes, you're going to find the word. If you do a concordance search, you're going to find the word grace sprinkled all over the Bible. It's the measure of grace. Grace that thrives in the presence of sin. Where sin increases, grace super exceeds. That's what we're talking about here, Romans 5:20. And the gospel, as I told you yesterday, did not come to Paul from other people. It was a divine revelation. Galatians 1:11, I certify you, brothers, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Human beings did not invent this thing. Of course not. They would put more regulations on it. This is not human. It's not a human message. We would over-regulate it. That's what the human tendency. This is a divine message. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He wasn't taught it by Peter. He got it from Jesus Christ. So the one thing that sent me off, like back in 1986, that helped me realize that Paul's message was really different, was that 14 years after his conversion, he had to go to Jerusalem to explain his gospels to the big shots there, to Peter, James, and John, and the rest. This is Paul in Galatians 2, verses 2 through 7. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them, Peter, James, John, the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. In other words, these guys were the big shots, but they didn't add anything to me. How could they? Because they didn't originate it. He learned it from Jesus Christ. But contrary, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was committed unto Peter, well, they gave Paul the right hand of fellowship, which is the opposite of getting the right foot of fellowship. So notice that Paul called his gospel the gospel of the uncircumcision. And again, he distinguishes his gospel. He calls it my gospel. Some references there for you. Romans 2:16, my gospel. Romans 16:25. Establish you according to my gospel. 2 Timothy 2:8, Jesus Christ, seed of David, raised from the dead according to my gospel. How could this man be so audacious as to call it my gospel? Because this thing was hidden in eons past and was revealed for the first time to Paul. Romans 16:25, check this verse out. The Concordant Version says there, now to him who is able to establish you in accord with my evangel and the heralding of Christ Jesus in accord with the revelation of a secret hushed in times aeonian, yet manifested now. A secret hushed, yet manifested now. Nobody had heard of this until Paul got it. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little, my lack of sleep the first 4 days of this trip kind of got me maybe fighting off a little bit of a cold here, so thanks for putting up with me. So not only was this a distinct message, but the administration, this huge time period we're in, the era of the Gentiles, it was completely new. No one knew that Israel's program was going to be put on hold temporarily in order to make way for this new message. So this was a revelation. For that, I want to go to Ephesians 3:2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, the dispensation of the grace of God. Dispensation is things that are dispensed, and they're dispensed during an administration. Paul has an administration of grace. Therefore, during that administration, it's grace that is dispensed. Listen to Colossians 1, verses 25 through 27. Paul talks about his body, which is the ecclesia, of which I became a dispenser in accord with the administration of God, which is granted to me for you to complete the word of God, the secret which has been concealed from the eons and from the generations, yet now was made manifest to his saints, to whom God wills. This is you. You're one of his saints. It is to you whom God wills to make known what are the glorious riches of this secret among the nations. Glorious riches. Boy, you sure would expect a message of glorious riches to be accepted, and yet grace is despised. The secret among the nations, which is Christ among you, the expectation of glory. So Paul was an official in this message. He was a commissioner, and this is not the commission that Christ gave to Israel. You've heard of the Great Commission at the end of Matthew chapter 28. Go baptize all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The 12 disciples never did that because that commission awaits the time when Jesus Christ will return to earth and be with the disciples. Right at the end there of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the consummation of the eon. Then he promptly leaves. So how is it that the Great Commission was to be fulfilled in the lifetime of Peter, James, and John when the promise was, I will be with you? Then he takes off, heads off into the heavens from the Mount of Olives. So Paul does not have the Great Commission. This Great Commission that you hear so much about in Christianity, this is not ours. That Great Commission waits until the inauguration of the thousand years. And we know one of the keynotes of the Great Commission is baptism. Well, listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:17. Christ sent me not to baptize. What? Not to baptize? Yeah, he baptized. I know. He baptized a couple people early on. Then he says he's glad he only baptized a couple because his ministry went from glory to glory. It went from ceremonies and works to unadulterated faith. That's where we are now. And that's why this is so tough, because it's unadulterated faith. There is no baptism. There are no works. There are no ceremonies. That's why people have such a hard time with it, because they can't see it. But faith is the strongest power in the world. Grace is the strongest power to invite faith. And Paul became the administrator and the commissioner of this message. And he ministered again to a completely new group of people. The 12 ministered to Israel. Paul ministered to a newly formed, what was then becoming a newly formed group of people, the body of Christ, who would be taken to heaven. And in this body, all earthly, fleshly distinction is vanished. That's what you need to see. It's going to help you understand 2 Timothy and why we need to hold fast to the scriptures and why we have so little outward organization. Because fleshly distinctions, which people love so much, are gone. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Very important to be a Jew in the kingdom, isn't it? I'm going to close with this verse then from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. So that we, from now on, are acquainted with no one according to flesh. Yet even if we have known Christ according to the flesh, nevertheless now we know him so no longer. Verse 17, so that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The primitive passed by, lo, there has come new. Listen to that. Even if we have known Christ according to the flesh, we know him so no longer. So our apprehension of Christ changes with this new administration, this new message, this new messenger, this new commissioner. When you think of Christ as the lonely Nazarene walking across the desert in his sandals, no, you need to raise your vision. He's now glorified, and he's speaking to us from his glorified position at the right hand of God through the Apostle Paul. This is so, so different from Israel, who still looks at him according to the flesh and waits to see him in the body, same body he had when he was here on earth. All right, we're introducing the Apostle Paul still. We're still in, surprisingly, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. But we're going to hit the fast track, but we're not going to leave any details undone. After all, the subtitle of Clyde Pilkington's book is Brief Thoughts on 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter to the church. I'll try to make it brief. I'm obviously not very good at that, but I'm going to talk to you again from Sacramento. Thanks for listening to these shows. It helps me to know you're listening. Send me an email. Tell me you're enjoying it. And we will talk to you from Sacramento. God bless you.